and to be a child of God. Amen. Shelby, I'm going to hold this to the end, and it's going to hopefully tie in better there than right now. So if I forget, you jerk my coat tail, okay? I have a tendency to get in the preaching mode and forget stuff sometimes. And Sherry picks on me. I know she's not listening to me. She probably is. She said, how can you not remember stuff? It's like, I have to write it down. I have to do that. It ain't got nothing to do with age. It's just that my computer don't process as fast as everybody else's computer. I've already told y'all, I don't multitask. I'll tell you a little funny story leading into this. I think it. One time, Miss Betty, I tried to multitask, and it got me in trouble. I really do. There was a lady, actually, she's been here in church years ago, Miss Phoebe Joyner. Some of you might remember Phoebe. Phoebe was on Facebook with me. She was our piano player at Monroe. And no joke, Phoebe was one of the best piano players that I've ever met. Plays everything. She knows music, but she plays about everything by ear. And so Phoebe just sat right to the pulpit. And about anything I ever wanted to sing as I was preaching, and we just flowed right into it. All I had to do was start singing. And she just, I mean, it was amazing. But one time I was talking right after I moved to Monroe. She was talking to me. And my eyes was like over here and over there. And I was looking at my environment and people, you know, things around me and stuff. And she said, look at me when I'm talking to you. And I said, okay. I said, but I need to let you know something. I listen with my ears and not my eyes. And ever since then, me and her have been good buddies, you know. But I can't multitask. I have to stay focused. And that's just who I am. That's the only way I can do it. And if I'm ever talking with you and looking around, I'm just looking around. I'm just paying attention to my environment. Don't mean nothing by it. It's just who I am. It's just the way I'm wired. And I'm still listening to everything you're saying. And I've had to actually repeat and quote stuff back to people because they said, you didn't hear a word I said. I quoted it back to them almost verbatim. So I do listen. And I pay attention a lot more than y'all think I do. I say y'all, I mean people at large. I pay attention. I think that's part of the shepherd in me. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me. Psalm 61. And I'm not saying I see all things, and I'm not saying I don't miss something every now and then, but I do try to be vigilant in what I do as a pastor. Psalm 61 is where I want to go. And I apologize to Kathy, I got busy. Imagine that. Psalm 61. If I had a title tonight, it would just simply be, Lord, hear my cry. Lord, hear my cry. When we look at the 8 verses in Psalm 61, it reads as follows. It opens up with David. And he says, hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto the name forever, that I may daily perform thy vow. Stretch your hands this way and pray for me. Father, I do love you tonight, God, and I thank you for every song that's being sung. God, is a reminder of the old rugged cross and a reminder of the victory that's won at the cross. As Brother Terry sang tonight, God, a reminder that you, God, that you gave us a robe. And God, you put a robe on us, God, when we didn't deserve it. God, you called us back to you, Father God. Father, I thank you, God, for this evening, Lord Jesus, for the word of God that'll go forth out of this sanctuary tonight. God, I pray that you, Lord, would touch my heart and help me, oh God, to deliver what you put into my heart today. And Father, I'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Verse number one again is a reminder that David said the words, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." Verse number two, when David was praying this prayer unto God, it was a prayer from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I know that there's Southern gospel songs that says, "Lead me to the rock." No doubt in my mind that's where this particular song might have came from, was a psalm here in chapter 61. When we begin to look at this psalm of David, David did not have an easy life. Sometimes David created his own storm and cried when he got caught, cried when it rained. David was one of those guys that was just like you and I. He was very susceptible, if you will, to the passions of the flesh. David got himself in trouble so many times by simply doing the things that he should not have done. During this particular time in David's life, it was a time where commentary said that it was a time that he composed this at a time during Absalom's rebellion against him, when David was running and David was a fugitive and David had to flee from the tabernacle that he loved to be in. He had fled from the presence of God. And then we can see here again how that David began to cry out of his heart. Commentary said that it was a prayer out of David's heart. I don't know really why it is that when some people, and I can't stereotype and I can't say all people, but it's amazing to me that when some people get themselves into trouble, that they wait until they have found themselves into a bad situation before they will ever cry out unto God. Again, this is a reminder again how that this particular psalm is a beautiful psalm by way of commentary of how the Bible said that it was one that expressed the confidence that the psalmist had in God himself. In the cry and the confidence of the godly, the psalmist, if you will, beautifully describes his steadfast confidence in the Lord. As the psalmist again, he cries out to the Lord. It was one of those things that we see by way of Scripture that it was David again, a prayer that was that was coming out of David's heart. It was a plea. It was a cry. It was a desperate plea for God again to come to David's rescue and a time for God to come and hear David's heart. And David was crying out of his heart unto God. Again, when I began to think about this, the king, again, was only across the other side of Jordan, if you will. He was just across the way from the tabernacle. But it seemed like that David was gone to the other side of the earth, if you will. Isn't it amazing to you? Isn't it amazing to me? When somebody has one time been in step with the Holy Spirit, when someone has been inside the gates of the redeemed, and it seems like that if they allow the things of the world to draw them away and they go back out into the world, you think, well, they may not be that far out in sin, and they may not be that far removed from God's house, but yet, my friend, just like David, it seems like you're on the other side of the world. It seems like that you have gone so far away from God. David, and my thinking about David here and the writing of this particular psalm, it was a time when it seemed like that David's life had came to a crossroad where that what David had fled from Absalom, and it feels like that David had felt like that God had abandoned him and that God was nowhere to be found. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in this small group tonight or not, but sometimes in all of our lives we go through things and it seems like that God is nowhere to be found. It seems like not necessarily that we have drifted away, but somehow or another we have just grown apart. Somehow or another we have fallen out of love with God. Somehow or another it seems like we don't have the love in our heart that we one time had for God. And I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean, and I said that last week and I'll probably say it again a time or two, but all you got to do is look around you today and see that people's hearts have fallen out of love with God. It seems like that people's hearts are nowhere near God. David found himself in a situation where it seemed like that God was nowhere to be found. And it is time that David realized that David the king was at the end of his rope. Has anybody ever been at the end of your rope? You didn't know which way to turn. You didn't know what to do. You didn't know who to call on. And you didn't know how everything was going to work out. But it was at this time in David's life that David seemed to be at the end of his rope. And it seemed like that he was at the end of all of his human help. Oh, but my friend, in this we see where that David, as David began to write this, he says that his heart was overwhelmed. You can see that in the scripture in verse number 2. His heart was overwhelmed, and no doubt in my mind, his heart was overwhelmed about circumstances and situations that was around him, and it seemed like that God was nowhere to be found. Can I tell you tonight, in all the love of God that I can tell you in, oftentimes it seems like that God has left us, but in all reality, we have left God. Amen. And David came to that place. David came to that point. David said, oh, I know what I've got to do. I've got to call on God. I've got to cry out on God. Hear my cry, oh God. And God laid this on my heart. And maybe you're in this room. Maybe you're listening online. Maybe you're one of those that'll come across this video somewhere. But my friend, I want to submit unto you tonight, if you're far away from God, all you got to do, Brother Jonathan, is call out on Him one more time. And I believe that with everything within me, that God will hear your cry. And overwhelming floods that troubled David and poured out all around him. But in all of his circumstances, in all that was going on in David's life, somewhere in David's life, there was a spark of hope began to arise. Somewhere in David's life of being so overwhelmed. Now I know tonight that I'm talking to the mature saints and the aged saints, and there's nobody in this room tonight that's ever been overwhelmed. It's only the people out there that get overwhelmed. We've never been that way in here because we're the aged saints. We're the prayer warriors, and we're the people that's got our act together, and we're the ones that we've already proved ourselves, and we never have no problems, and we've never have no issues. The ones that come on Wednesday night. I'm talking to those guys. But yet I'm smart enough to know that there is nobody that is exempt from moments of being overwhelmed by the cares of this life. And there are those that will come to you, and there are those that will be so spiritual, and they'll say, well, you just don't need to worry about it. You just need to pray about it. Well, honey, listen, I do both. There are things that come to my life. Maybe you don't deal with what I deal with. Maybe there's times you don't wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe there's times you don't wake up at 4:10 a.m. as I did this morning with so many things on my mind and trying to process it. You say, well, preacher, are you not sleeping good at night? Oh, I sleep good from about 8 o'clock till about 4 o'clock in the morning. I go to bed early. Not always. I got smart. I'm smart enough to go to bed at dark. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, you're going to bed with the chickens. Yeah, and I get up with them too. I've had people say, I didn't get you out of bed, did I, preacher? And it's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's like, do what? No, not hardly. But I think about that, and I think about how overwhelmed we get in life. I think about how troubles come our way. We think about how burdened down we get with the reality that we live in a real world. In a reality that we really do face real problems in the world that we're living in. And I didn't come here this evening to be a naysayer or a woe is me type of guy. That's not what I'm here for tonight. But I'm just telling you that in the middle of David's despair, are you with me tonight? In the middle of David's despair, David began to realize that he had an answer. David had tried every human element. David had tried, no doubt in my mind, every human thing possible to overcome the situation that he was in. And then all of a sudden, and I love this, all of a sudden, that spiritual light bulb went off. And David said, I've been with God in the tabernacle before. I know what it is to dwell in the tabernacle of the Most High. I know what it is to be in the glory. I know what it is to be in the power. I know what it is to see God's presence. David said, I know what I'll do. And my friend, whoever's listening to me tonight, wherever you're listening tonight, my friend, we need to do what David did. We need to cry out and we need to say, God, hear my cry. Hear my cry tonight, God. I don't know how many of you in this room, and myself included, has ever had to go to God and I said, God, I need you. Now, I used to have a little funny cliche back in the day when I was coming up and learning and growing in the Lord, and I'm still learning and growing up and coming along in the Lord. I still got a long way to go, but I used to say, God, I need you. God, I need you today. And Brother West, I'd pray and I'd be sincere and I'd be fervent in my prayer. I would say, God, I need you. And I'd get more intense and I'd say, God, oh God, I need you. I'm telling you, when you get like that, you're crying out to God. And I'd say to my little cliche, I'd say, God, I need you like a flower in the desert where there is no rain. I don't know where I picked up that at, but I would pray, Brother Ken, I'd pray, oh God, I need you like a flower. Oh God, I need you like a flower in the desert where there is no rain. By that I meant, God, if you don't touch me, I know I'm going to shrivel up and die. I know, God, I'm not going to make it. I'm just going to wither away. Oh, my friend, if we would ever get back to the place in the church that we would realize, God, we need you. Where would we be today without God? You say, I don't believe in all that loud, preachy stuff. You get desperate enough, friend, you'll be calling on whoever you can call on to get an answer through to glory. Come on, somebody. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in that. We believe in crying out to God. Friend, David's heart was overwhelmed, and all of a sudden, David begins to cry. David begins to call. David begins to plead before God, and David cried out to God. David understood that he's the only one that could really help him. Our world's in a mess. It is in a mess. And if we don't start calling on God again, we're in trouble. You say, well, that's the people out there somewhere. No, it's the church. Where's judgment going to start? House of God. What did he tell them? You don't need to turn there, but what did he tell them in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people will humble themselves and pray, call on God. David cried out to God when David was in his bitter distress from the attack of the enemy. Now, I would like to take the time to talk about that for a while, but isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing when we're under spiritual attack? Now, probably again, nobody in this room's ever been under spiritual attack, because we're mature in the Lord and we're grown, we're aged, and we're beyond spiritual attacks. We're beyond spiritual warfare. We've already schooled that. We've aced that. We made 100 in the class. We don't deal with that no more. But David did. David found out something. David found out that when he was at this moment of his life, David in his bitterness, in the attack of the enemy. But isn't it amazing how that when we get under spiritual attack and the attack of the devil, watch this, whoa, my goodness, we get to the place, Dixie, and we think, well, God don't love me. Let's be real. Anybody ever felt that way? I felt that way. God, if you cared, well, at least two of us honest in the room. God, if you cared for me, thank you, Miss Pam, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. God, if you were really there, and God, if you really cared for me. Here's something I learned here not long ago. Sometimes the storm that we're in right now is not a storm to disturb our life or cause confusion in our life. Sometimes the storm that we're going through is a storm that's just going to clear the way for us. Come on, somebody. But isn't it amazing when we're going through stuff? Again, nobody in the room. But people say, well, if God really loved me, going to church, it's not doing me no good. It's useless. I mean, you know, preacher's boring. I don't like the person sitting beside me. And what am I going for? Because, you know, I ain't getting nothing out of it. Isn't it amazing? You think people don't do that. Hello, I know stuff. People say, well, why in the world? When we're going through distress, while we're going through a storm, why, Joe, would we run from God when in all reality we need to be running to God? And this is what David finally realized. Psalm 120, when you begin to look, it's other areas of the Psalms, and we'll just visit these really quick. There's other areas of the Psalm 120. Again, verse number 1, again, when David said this in 120 and 1. He said, in my distress, not out of my distress, not when everything was perfect, not when everything was going my way, not when I had an extra 20 in my pocket or whatever I may or may not have, when everything was just perfect. We use this word. I don't even know how to spell it. Hunkadory. I don't know who come up with that word, but I've heard it before. When everything is just hunkadory, when everything is just beautiful, when everything, oh, well, I'll come back to church preacher just as quick as I get everything worked out in my life, and just as quick as everything gets straightened back out, preacher, I'll be there, preacher. No, you won't. You'll be down at the lake somewhere. Sorry, he gives it to me. I'm just the mailman. Don't get mad at the mailman when he brings your bills and puts them in your mailbox. You created it, not me. Not your mailman. I just do what God says. Come on, somebody. I love you and you know that. But sometimes it just has to be the truth. We've gotten lazy. Let me come right here in the middle and say that. That way it won't just be this side. I'm in the middle. We've gotten lazy on God. And is it going to be a crisis that it's going to take a crisis in your life and my life to turn our lives back around? You say, well, that don't never happen to me. Well, thank God it don't happen to you. I deal with them all the time as other people. I walk through. You seen that prayer list I had up there tonight? Other people walking through things. And all the time, Sister Penny, I'm telling them, it's going to be okay. God's got it. You're going to get through this. We're going to stand with you. We're going to get through this together. It's going to be okay. I looked at two people. Now, I know it don't matter about being online. They know this. I looked at two people last week in the hospital, and I've not visited a lot of hospitals lately because of COVID, but I did go back in last week and trying to get back in a little bit here and yonder. But Brother West, when you're laying on a gurney and you know that in just about an hour or less, they're going to cut your chest open. Charlotte, Bob, I don't know who else. That's scary. And it's easy for me to stand on the outside of that and say, it's going to be okay. Joe, I was with him when he had his whoop right here. It's going to be okay, Brother Joe. My Jesus. It's okay when you're not going through it. But when you're going through it, David cried in his, he cried out to God. And I'll say this and move on fastly. God's wanting his people to cry out to him one more time. Cry out to him. David was in distress, and David said this. He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And here's the victory. Here's the awesome thing about God. And say it with me. And he heard me. Say it one more time. And he heard me. One more time. And he heard me. Hallelujah. God is not a God that can forget you. He told Israel that. Sometimes when we look at life, and watch this really, really fast. How many times in your life have you cried out? How many times have you felt alone? Anybody ever felt alone? How many times you felt forsaken? How many times you felt neglected? How many times did you feel, and I felt, hey, you didn't get picked for the team. That makes you feel less than a human being. That makes you feel less than everybody else because you didn't get picked. That's my thing from my childhood. Come on, somebody. But God gave me a victor's heart because I know what? He had a different plan for me. He had a different plan. How many times have we felt rejected and we come to the place in our own lives that we understand that we're not alone? Look to your neighbor and say, you're not alone. Tell them in their eyes, you are not alone. But we get to the place in our lives that we feel like that no one else can help me. Been there. No one else can help me. No one else can comfort me. No one else can do for me what only God knows what I need and what He knows can be done. Again, when we begin to think about the power of a cry. Honestly, I thought about doing this. I didn't have a chance to get with Kathy and do something really quirky right here. But if I'd have had the time to get this together at that point in this message, you know what I was going to do? I was going to have her hit a button up there and have a baby cry right there. Everybody in the room would have looked around to see where the baby was, and the baby was crying. Why? Because at a moment's time, when a baby cries, when a mother's in a bedroom, when a baby cries, we're always running and we're saying, what's wrong with the baby? What's wrong with the baby? And a lot of times, and I've had people say, well, I can't stand to see a grown man cry. I've had people tell me that. I've had people say that. And then us men, we get hardened and we just get calloused and we get to the place that we got to roll our sleeves up and flex up and we got to, I can't flex. I'm sorry, I ain't got nothing to flex. Brother Steve back there, he's a big man, but you flex up because you don't want nobody to see your weaknesses or expose the fact that you've got a heart. And then us men, we carry things around that we ought not be carrying because we don't want anybody to see us cry. But you know what? There's a time in life that we need to cry. There's a time in life that we need to lay aside all the weights. We need to lay aside all the sins that so easily beset us. But you let a baby cry, a baby that is neglected, or a baby that just cries out of normal circumstances, and everybody's going to go run to the baby. And again, when we cry to God, we've got to understand that I'm not crying because I'm weak. I'm not crying because necessarily of what I don't have control of, because I like being my hand. I like, you know. And I'm crying because I want God to turn it around. And crying to God is not childish, as the world sees childishness, if you will. The cry that we're talking about here is a cry that is proof that we trust in God. It's proof that we're dependent upon God. Our dependence is upon God. It is our understanding that we've came to the crossroads of our life, that only God and God alone is the only one that can sustain us. And again, hear my cry. David, again, in the Scripture, throughout the Scripture, we see this. In Psalm chapter number 34 and verse number 6 is another Scripture that David cried unto the Lord. And in this he says, the poor man cried, and I love that. The poor man cried, broke, busted, disgusted. No other ways, nowhere else to turn. No human effort can turn my life around. And I cried unto the Lord again, and he said he heard him. And he says, and he saved him. I love that, don't you? You want to be saved out of your troubles, my friend? You want to be saved out of the circumstances of your life? You want to see your life turn around? You say, well, Pastor, you need to be preaching to sinners right there. Hey, sinner, saint, it don't matter. My friend, if there's anything we need to turn our attention back to God, and we need to turn our focus back upon Him. Again, when we begin to see this, we see where David said that in verse 6. But before we get to verse number 6, we see this in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 4. And in verse number 1, he begins to say this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. When did he say he would bless the Lord? In my trouble, in my distress, in the deplorable situations around me. Hey, your praise, my friend, can be your cry to God. And he says that his praise shall continue be in my mouth. Verse number 2 says this, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I'm going to brag on God. I may be going through things. I may be walking through devil's elbow deep. But my friend, I'm going to praise God and magnify God and glorify God. And my praise is going to be, His praise is going to be in my mouth. And I'm going to glorify His name. Again, I want to reiterate and say, some folks say that it don't take all of that. I don't mean to be ugly, but it's been so long since you praised God and said, I love you, Jesus. My friend, it almost scares you to hear yourself say that. How long's it been since you and God had a come to meet in Jesus meeting? How long's it been since you just quietly in your quiet place? I hope you have a quiet place that you just get to that place and you just say, Jesus, I love you. Glory to your name, Lord. I glorify your name, Jesus. I love you. I praise you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. I want you in my heart, Jesus. I need you in my life. How long's it been since you cried out to Him? Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Verse number 4, and I got to hurry. I sought the Lord and He heard me. The Bible says seek Him in a lot of different places. Says seek Him. Not seek Him, but seek Him. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. A lot of times people just get to that place and they just think, you know what? My life is so far gone that there's no turning back. There's no turning it around. I don't believe that lie from the devil. I've been out of church too long. I've been away from God too long. I could never live good enough to serve God. The devil is a liar. Because you yourself determine your destiny. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die in misery. You don't have to live a life separated from God for all eternity. You say, preacher, you're talking to the saints again. Remember that. No, I'm talking to us. We make choices every day Again, when we begin to look at the scripture, David says this in Psalm, the fourth verse, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He heard me. Are y'all awake? He heard me. I don't know about you, but I love this. He heard me. Aren't you glad that God has ears? You ever thought about that? God has ears. You're made in God's image, likeness, as God imagined man to be, but yet God has ears. God hears your prayer. The Bible lets us know that his ears are ever open to the prayers of the saints. And as we cry out to God, the Bible said, as he heard me, and then he says, and he delivered me. What do you need delivering from? Sometimes just thinking. Come on. Sometimes the woe is me. Sometimes it'll never get any better than it is right now. Sometimes you think your neighbor don't like you because they kind of looked at you funny on Sunday morning and you're not coming back to church. You think stuff like that listen. All kinds of stuff happens. Anytime the devil gets an edge way in any way, shape, form, or fashion, he'll do anything he can to discourage you. Anything. He don't care. He'll use any weakness that you have and he'll magnify it by 10 times over for you to think that nobody likes you or God's forsaken you or why do I even need to go back over there to that Thomasville Church of God? Because when we pray, we're sincere. When we seek God, he hears us. And either God is who God says. Hey, I heard this years ago, Brother West. You might not have ever heard this. I've heard it said one time that Jesus was either a lunatic or a liar or Lord. We make him Lord. He is Lord, Master, Savior. You got to make him Lord. I deal with people. I deal with agnostics. I deal with atheists. I deal with people that don't even believe the scripture. I've got personal issues there with individuals and stuff. Don't even adhere to anything, the scripture. And even so messed up in their thinking. I'll leave that alone. He delivered me out of all my fears. Let me hurry. It's almost 8 o'clock. Of course, I'm not on no time limit. But I don't want to keep you here all night long either. So we're in Psalm 40. Then we're going to wrap it up here shortly. Psalm 40, verse 1 says this. Again, a psalm of David when he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Woo-wee. That's a whole message by itself. But God, I want it right now. God, I want an instantaneous blessing. I want it now. Jensen Franklin said years ago, said, hey, we live in a microwave generation and we serve a crockpot God. If we don't get our instantaneous whatever, we'll just break up and walk out. Can I preach again for a second? You Wednesday night people, I tell y'all were brave to come out here and hear me on Wednesday night. Because y'all get the reality of it all. I can tell when people are not ready to have church. I can tell in a skinny second. Because when I get ready to close, they start shutting their Bibles. They'll get their coats on. They'll get ready to leave and walk out. And they don't even give God time to do anything around the altars. And you know how tiring that is? When you've preached and you're going to the altar service. And then you get to that place. It's like, okay, they're done. They're out of here. Check out, punch out, boom. Zippity-doo-dah. Sometimes you got to be patient. And sometimes you just got to wait on God. And if I had another hour, which I could, but I ain't, he told them to go and tarry in the upper room until. So I said, you don't have to tarry for the Holy Ghost no more. But I still think we have to tarry until. Like old Derek sung the other night. I want to get my breakthrough. I want to get my blessing. Sometimes you got to wait on God. Patiently for the Lord. And here again, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. I'm gonna just zip through this really, really fast. Again, reiterating Psalm 107 and 6 says the same thing. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord delivered them out of all their distresses. Psalm 107 and 6. David said this in the text as we begin to look at it in verse number 2. And he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. The word lead there in the Hebrew, you look it up, it says to God, and at God governing man. God led the children of Israel, guided them. I want to be guided by God, don't you? Lead me, God. God won't lead you down the wrong road. Years ago, we had these things called road maps. You buy them in the convenience store and they unfold and they're about this big on the dash of your car. And you're here and you're trying to find out where you're at. And you're trying to go up here and you're trying to think, well, right here is this and this is the best way. Guide me. Now we just punch it in the GPS and hope and pray to God that thing works right. My wife couldn't get to Walmart hardly without a GPS. You can tell her I said it because I know you will. Brenda tells on me all the time. Sherry will say, he's right. He's right. Guide me. You feel that tonight? God, guide me. Lead me, Lord. When you look at this, he says, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Who is that rock? Jesus. Did Jesus ever cry in closing? Jesus at Easter, we are reflecting. When Jesus was there in the garden and Jesus' sweat became as great drops of blood because he was crying in the garden. If Jesus cried, so should we. Now, again, let me reiterate and say there's a difference between crying out to God and being whiny. I don't like being whiny. My wife broke me of that years ago. She don't like whiny. She broke me of that long time ago. You think I'm kidding? I used to be the whiniest preacher on earth. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I've not aced it yet. Something go wrong in the church. When I first started pastoring, I was, Brother West, I don't know how you, I was under this delusion that I would live in this, Horace, this Pollyanna land as a pastor. Everybody would love me. Everybody would flock and everybody would hear. Everybody just couldn't wait to get into the church. And everybody would say, there you go, attaboy. You're a good one tonight. We really like that. And when I began to find out that sheep bite, my God, it hurt my feelings. I was ready to, I don't know about all this. Back in my younger years. Somebody said, well, what do shepherds do? Thy rod and thy staff. You have to learn how to lead with a rod and a staff, and you have to know how to do all that. The sheep still bite. I had to learn a long time ago. I can't be a whiny preacher. I can't be a whiny pastor. Don't work. You gotta suck that up. Suck it up, buttercup. You know, can't do that. But I cry. I say, God, I need you. God. There's times I cried. I said, God, I need you, Lord. Jesus, we need you. Jesus cried. He cried from the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, Jesus cried because he felt alone. Jesus cried because he felt forsaken. God, Jesus cried because he felt like the Father was no longer around him. He was God, but he was man, and he was man, but he was God. In Psalm, at this Easter time, we think about this whole psalm of psalm and crying out to God. Jesus must have felt like he was alone. We feel alone at times. And the only thing I can tell you tonight is cry again. God, hear my cry. Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They went on to say, truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus knew that when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John, when the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove, and he said, the voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. These disciples had a task. All throughout the scripture, we see that there was those that cried. Can I just tell you, that's Matthew 27 and 45. Can I tell you, if you're ever going to get delivered, if you're ever going to get the answer, cry again. Hear my cry, God. Hear my cry. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 28, 11. Hear my cry. Is that you tonight? Is that anybody in the room? You say, preacher, this is for me. I know this message was sent here tonight for me. Let me see your hand. Anyone at all? Thank you, Benny. Hear my cry. God will hear you. Shelby asked me to read this. Proof of the disciples being with Jesus. And it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, that they were astonished, and they took knowledge of them, note of them, that these men had been with Jesus. It says, when they were Peter and John, ordinary men filled with the Holy Ghost, telling the learned religious establishment of the day, not only was Jesus risen from the dead, they were telling the story of a crippled man from birth had been miraculously healed in the name of the power, in the power of the name of Jesus. As if they were not enough, Peter tops off the defense by telling the Pharisee and the Sadducee that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior of the world, including them. Bold words indeed, considering that men to whom they were speaking had the power to stone them to death and turn them over to the Romans to be crucified for disturbing the peace. Behold, bold words, bold deeds, bold men empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit who knew their lives had been changed by the glorious transformation of the Spirit to be of the risen Christ. These were ordinary men, nobodies, really in the sight of the world, but they had been with Jesus. My Lord Jesus, have mercy. They had been with Jesus. Their spirit-filled words and actions turned the whole world upside down. In our politically correct world, if you will, anything goes, feel-good philosophies of the modern life. The same Holy Spirit will embolden us to speak good news to a lost world. Our message is the same. One preached that Peter and John preached, and all the believers all over the world, that Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus loves them, and he wants to give them life worth living. All it takes is ordinary folks living ordinary lives. Those that had been with Jesus. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When you're with Jesus, it'll turn your life around. I hope that somebody got a nugget. I hope that somebody somewhere got a little bitty something out of this message tonight. In your distress, call unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we would ever ask or think. You say, well, preacher, have you ever heard, have you had every answer back that you had prayed by all the prayers you've ever prayed in your life? I got the answer that I got right now, but I don't have everything the way I think that it should be, but I'm not giving up. A lot of people want to give up, but I'm not giving up because God still has a plan. Amen. Let's stand together. I got you out by 8:11. That ain't too bad, is it? It was worth staying for, I hope. We'll go to a restaurant and wait 45 minutes just to eat an old dried up hamburger. Come on, somebody. I know tonight was better than an old dried up hamburger. I love you. Hope you got something out of it tonight. Father, we do love you tonight, and we do thank you, Father God. We thank you for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. I thank you, Heavenly Father God, for all your many blessings upon us. Father, I love you. Praise you and I thank you. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for all that you've done tonight, God. Help us to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you, Miss Penny, one more time.